And on the line now I have Terence Flanagan, Independent TD. Good morning, Terence. How are you?
Very well, Noel. Good morning to you.
Okay, now before we talk about some of the things you have put out there, can I ask you a bit of background yourself? A lot of people know a lot of the politicians, but can I ask you why you got into politics and what was your background for that?
You can, Noel, of course, yeah. Well, as a young person, I found it difficult to get onto the property ladder, and that was one of the main issues that had me getting involved and joining a political party in the first place. Just my peers and others, we were, I suppose, not happy with the way the country was being run by Fianna Fáil and their complete dominance of the political landscape for so many years. And as a young person, it was just difficult, I suppose, to make a start, and wanting to have a voice and feeling that as a young person that joining a political party would be a good way of one's voice being heard. So that's really why I got involved in politics, trying to make a difference.
And the perception you would have had of politics before you went into it, was there any disillusionment there when you did get involved eventually?
Well, politics is very slow for, I suppose, decisions to be made. Politicians don't always, make the final decisions. You can have officials as well, particularly if you're a member of a local authority. The power rests a lot with the officials and with the manager per se. So that can be very frustrating in trying to get things done, particularly if you're somebody who expects, I suppose, politics to be as efficient and as fast as what happens in the private sector, And as someone that worked in the private sector, I am familiar with the differences, obviously, between both sides. And it can be frustrating, all right, but it's very, I think, rewarding, and it can be very challenging as well. But, politicians are there, obviously, to serve the people, and it's a huge, huge honour to be elected at Teach Na Dála, which is a TD. You're a representative or a messenger on behalf of the people. So your role is, I suppose, to bring the issues, what you hear from the different communications you have with your constituents, and to bring them into Leinster House, and to communicate what happens in Leinster House back to your constituents as well. So communication, obviously, is very much a key, but it can be a lot slower than one expects, but you have to be, I suppose, willing to stick the long haul and not get too frustrated with the system.
Okay. Now, you were talking about there initially why you got involved with the record of Fianna Fáil. How do you think your ex-party Fine Gael are doing at the moment? I mean, lots have happened. There's been a bit of controversy in your relationship there, and that's all sorted out now. But how do you feel about it now? Do you think there's any difference now or what?
Well, Fine Gael, I suppose, have brought certainty from a financial perspective back to the economy. I suppose we had an economy going back 4 years ago which was drifting effectively, and we were looking very much into the abyss. I suppose nobody knew what was around the corner, and they have brought stability, the government have, to the situation. But at what price, I suppose, people will say. There is a feeling like that things weren't done as equitable as they could have been done, that there is a larger gap in inequality, I suppose, between the well-off and the have and the have-nots, and that there were lots of promises made by both political parties in the run-up to the last general election, which sadly haven't been achieved. And I know the business of government is a serious business. It's not easy. People go in with full of idealism and wanting to achieve a long list of items, but it can be frustrating, I suppose, when one is in government. But I think what's disappointing is with politics is obviously the whole area of cronyism, and the fact that remains as bad, I suppose, under this government as the previous administration. I would have thought that was one area that the present government would have cleaned up and ensured, I suppose, that all appointments that were made were made in a clear and very transparent type manner. I suppose the way as well politics is done in this country, the tree-line party whip is too powerful. We have I suppose, chief whips and a small group of people, a clique, I suppose, within political mm-hmm. parties, who make all the decisions and decide on the policy and the direction that the party is going to take. And the ordinary members, they do have a say, I suppose, Noel's, within the party as such at the various parliamentary party meetings. But when the decision is made, I mean, you're under a 3-9 party whip, and there's no room, I suppose, for dissent as such within the party. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very, very wrong.
Okay, yeah, I sort of get the feeling that some people like yourselves feel like they're... you get your say in and you do all sorts of things, but I think at the end of that, with the way the situation is with the whip system, is that... more or less redundant to an extent that you can be pretty much ignored. Can I ask you, do you think that the government will, do you think they last the 15 months? Do you think there'll be election in the next couple of weeks?
It's hard to know, Noel. I suppose with the warfare situation, and there's another protest, I know, on Saturday, and from speaking with people, it sounds like there'll be a huge attendance at that as well. I think there was huge momentum, obviously, behind the campaign, the Water Charges campaign, towards the end of last year. And obviously with the Christmas and that and the break, that momentum hasn't started back again this year. But I think at the moment, from being in Leinster House and around Leinster House, it's sounding like the government is going to last right up to the end, up to April 2016. But as you well know, a week is mm-hmm. a long time in politics.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the events of the day and what can happen. And it could be an item between both parties that could cause a split and bring about an early general election. So I suppose one never knows. Mm-hmm. And we're keeping an eye on, I suppose, on Greece, on the situation over there with the change of government, and what difference that will make to the Greek people, and maybe that would have an effect here on Ireland, who knows.
Yeah, do you think it would? Do you think that's really going to be a bone of contention if things work out successfully over there, if the parties that have gotten in are successful?
Yes, well, I think within Europe there is a movement towards the left, all right, and if you look at each country, and it's going to put out a pressure, I think, on the government that they ensure that they do get a proper debt write-off, I suppose, for the monies that has been put in mm-hmm. Retrospectively into the banks, that there needs to be something done for the Irish people, that huge price has been paid by ordinary citizens with all the extra taxes, and this huge debate, I suppose, about the USC and trying to eliminate the USC, mm-hmm. which is a bugbear of a lot of people. But I think we'll see in the coming months anyway what effect, what deal, I suppose, they get in Greece, that I think will have a knock-on effect here on Ireland, and will put more pressure on the political leaders to do something a bit more, I suppose, substantial for the Irish people.
I suppose as well, maybe those here on the left and the small parties, and some of them coming up, nearly new parties being formed every day. I know that's an exaggeration, but still there's no coordination between them. But maybe this will be the boost to help them to get coordinated and say, look, we're going to have to do something to be ready. I mean, they don't seem as if they're ready. If there was an election call next week, they don't seem to have a good alternative. That's the talk on the streets. It's not my opinion. I've just been talking to some people about it. And how do you feel about that, the coordination that's lacking?
Well, I suppose there's always been a bit of things have been a bit disjointed on the left as such, and maybe not as organised. I think that the negotiations are continuing, and that there are, I suppose, attempts to try, and we see with independence at the moment with Shane Ross, and he's looking to obviously align different independents on a set of principles, and to have independents, I suppose, have a sway and have an opportunity to be in government and to make decision making. And I mean, that's going to be difficult in itself mm-hmm. when you have many independents who are only some can be only interested in their own patch and not maybe fully in the national interest as such, mm-hmm. But more looking after their own communities. So that is challenging. But all talks and discussions, I think, are always a good thing anyway. That I suppose debate take place is very important. People want to see a certain level of unity.
Can I ask you? Purpose. Can I ask you a cheeky question now?
You can, of course. Yeah.
Have you given any thought to joining Lucinda Creighton and her party?
Well, I have, yeah, I have, but I haven't at the same time. I've made no final decision, to be honest with you, Noel. Like, mm-hmm. I really do deeply admire what Lucinda and what Eddie Hobbs are looking to do. There were a lot of promises, as I said previously, made by the government, by the government parties, and entrepreneurship is one area I feel that it isn't getting the level of attention that it does deserve, really, and that we've a lot of good people, a lot of good ideas, but making a start in small business can be difficult because of the different challenges and the red tape and not enough support being put in place to help people. But I suppose the whole area, the public service as well, I mean, there could be better entrepreneurism within the public service, and rewarding people who actually come up with good ideas of ways of saving money for the taxpayer. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've questioned the minister many times on this, but there isn't a scheme within the HSE to reward those who actually come up with ways of generating savings and doing things differently, mm-hmm. The processes, you know, within the health service itself. I mean, that's one huge department and one huge, I suppose, expenditure item, and there has to be a reward there and encouraging entrepreneurism and getting people, I suppose, to think around things differently, mm-hmm. Doing things better and more efficiently. And obviously things become a bit stale and staid as well, mm-hmm. if that isn't there. So the new party, yeah, they're looking as well, I suppose, at independence. Basically that members wouldn't be under a party whip as such, that you'd be able to vote freely on each item that would be presented in front of the Dáil, that the only votes that would be whipped would be ones in relation to the budget or in relation to a government as well, confidence in a government if you are lucky enough to be part of a government or whatever. But all other votes would be free votes, so you'd be very much having to think on your feet. And I think at the moment, like, people are frustrated as well with the large majority that the government has, that you basically know what the results are of a vote even before it takes place, because the majority is just so large. Mm-hmm. But if members of parliament actually had to think for themselves and weigh up every item and to decide whether it is in the interests of all the people, you know, to go ahead. Like, obviously, okay. Irish Water wouldn't have.
So you haven't made, anyway, you haven't made your mind up yet. Okay, I'm going to get back to some of the things that you put out there. I mean, you initially, you were talking there about Irish Water, and I mean, a lot of the complaints from the people who are protesting, and even those that are not protesting, everyone is more or less saying, well, the government just doesn't seem to listen. I mean, even though it's not overt at the moment, there's still people out there every morning, 6 o'clock, in all these states around. I've been talking to quite a few of them, and they're all wound up for the march on Saturday. That is going ahead. So I think it's going to be a bit of another wake-up call for the government. Anyway, you were talking about protests. You were talking to some of the nurses outside of Beaumont Hospital protesting against all air. And what had they got to say? And what's your feeling on that, what's happening at the moment?
Yeah, well, I suppose firstly to welcome the fact that that the industrial action and the, you know, and dispute that talking is continuing, and that there hasn't been further, I suppose, industrial unrest as such. I suppose the overcrowding at Beaumont A&E department is huge, as we know through the media. Basically, management now are agreeing that they're going to have extra staff in the A&E department, obviously to deal with the volume of work that's coming through it. But the staff are hugely frustrated, really, and angry with the way they're being treated in the hospital. That they're basically, they ran off their feet, like they don't have time to read a patient's name at all on a chart, you know, mm-hmm. it's that busy up there. And that what's happened, as you know, within the nursing profession in recent years, is that permanent positions haven't been offered. They've only been temporary contracts, and that the money has been a lot better abroad. And as we know, a lot of nurses have been trained and they've ended up leaving in Ireland and going off to the UK or off to Australia or New Zealand or whatever. But it's the pay and the conditions as well is a big, big problem, you know.
Yeah. Well, they're working on the ground, Terence. Did any of them give you any indication? Is it to do with lack of funding? Is it bad administration? You mentioned there earlier on about entrepreneurship to do with the HSE. Is it a mixture of both? Or is it? Did it give you any indication of that?
It's a mix of both. Yeah, it's a mix of both, Noel. I suppose not. Like you have an issue. Obviously, we're living in a catchment area where there is an aging population.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough community beds. So I suppose there are people going to hospital as well who shouldn't necessarily be going to hospital. If there were proper, sufficiently resourced primary care centres, they would be their first port of call rather than directly going into a hospital. So.
Mm-hmm.
If we can take some of the people out of the hospitals, keep them locally in communities, we will be better off in that sense. That's why the primary care centres need to be built, and there are plans, as you're no doubt aware, for mm-hmm. Edenmore and for Coolock as well, that there be proper, adequately resourced primary care centres. So, for instance, the issue of a broken leg or arm, or having to get physiotherapy or whatever, that people wouldn't present themselves in A&E, that this would be dealt locally within mm-hmm. the communities, and that's what's needed and necessary. But there is huge frustration really on staff that, like, as you know, the work, the morale within the public service is at a low level anyhow, but particularly within the HSE, with the huge amount of negative publicity day in, day out that takes place, it is difficult for staff who are working in very pressurised conditions where there aren't adequate people, you know, to provide proper support. So it's the staffing levels is a major issue, the lack of staff that are there, as well mm-hmm. as obviously the huge amount of patients who are presenting themselves
okay, well,
there. So
well, Minister Varadkar, he hasn't been in a job long, to be fair to him, so maybe he'll turn no. things around if he's in long enough to do that. The other thing you were talking about, I mean, this has been going on for a long, long time with the Metro, and it is connected in a sense, and it just seems to be an alternative. It's a great idea. Clongriffin Link, it will allow trails to travel from Dublin Airport to the rest of the country. It was great. But they used to have a bus service, if memory serves me right, from Clongriffin out to the airport when you got off the Dart, and they discontinued that. So do you think this is feasible, especially the cost that's involved?
Yeah, well, it is a huge cost. I think it's probably cheaper than a Metro North in the first instance anyway. It's going to link up, obviously, the Dart with the Dublin Airport, and it's proper rail link is what I think what's needed at this moment in time. There was the Air Dart, and that was a commercial enterprise, and as you said, that no longer exists, unfortunately, that it wasn't being... I suppose supported enough by people at the time. Anyway, that's what the Air Dart people said.
Mm-hmm.
But I think having a train is a completely different situation. I think there'll be a lot of people, obviously, who will travel up from the country, because this will connect in with trains, you know, coming from Galway, and I think there's other places in Ireland that it will link in with. So. People, I would definitely use a train, because it is expensive enough, as we all know, with taxis at present, you know, coming in.
But unfortunately, I've heard,
to the airport.
Unfortunately,
as a large city, we do need proper service.
I know, but unfortunately, I heard comments during the week that with the public service, the prices are getting so high now, it's nearly as cheap for a few people to use the taxis. This is the comments that's going around at the moment. Do you think there should be maybe special prices or something like that involved in if this does come to fruition?
Well, there has to be a level of subsidy. I mean, this public, as I said, public transport prices are coming a bit out of hand now with the recent increase is there last October, and I know I'm using the bus myself, mm-hmm. how expensive it can be, particularly if you're paying in cash. If you're on one of the Leap cards, it is that little bit less expensive. And I suppose what they're trying to do there is Dublin buses, to get people away from using cash and to go to more using cards instead in the first instance. But yes, I suppose I do take your point about taxis being less expensive than public transport in certain instances. If there's a number of people looking to take a taxi, mm-hmm. that would make perfect sense. But there are going to be, I suppose, people travelling up from the country looking to get to the airport, and this is probably one of the it gives people better opportunity, I think.
Yeah. Do you think, with the history of, as I said, the metro and other bendy buses and all the sort of carrying that's been mentioned, especially over the past year, are you anyway sceptical at all about this reaching any sort of fruition?
I am sceptical, yeah, because it's been talked about for so long, now, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I think a lot of the public is as well. We're going to end on a bit of good news, Terence. The new childcare cost support that's going to provide relief to parents. So tell us what that's about. How soon will it come into...
Well, at the moment, there's nothing solid, Noel, and this is another issue that's been talked about for quite a long time, and it is, I suppose, forcing families in having that extra child because of the huge costs that are involved in childcare in this country. And I think it is a scandal, really, that successive governments haven't done anything to make childcare costs less expensive. Obviously, if someone is using a community childcare facility, that is... that more less expensive than having to go into a private childcare facility, but it does take up a huge amount of capital. It's effectively a mortgage for a lot of young couples out there at the moment, and I do have constituents consistently, I suppose, coming to me and raising the fact that there isn't any tax relief or subsidy out there, and this is obviously something now that the government are getting more interested in as we get closer to a general election. And it is, and obviously with the, I suppose, the financial position of the country improving ever so more slightly anyway, that they are looking towards tax reliefs and subsidies. But there's nothing solid there's no solid proposal there being announced yet, but there is the initiative to look at it.
Like you said yourself, with a general election maybe looming, that they probably will get put in some pillows there for people to swing them in a way. Anyway, listen, thank you very much, Terence, for talking to us. Especially at the beginning there, because I was curious, because we need young blood in politics, we need fresh blood, and we need people that will go in there and swing the lead and that. Because I was just thinking of George Lee there a few years ago when he was going in. I imagine he had the perception that he could change things with his with all the knowledge he had in economics, and he just didn't get the chance. He was just in the quagmire and just forgotten about. And I was just wondering how you felt about it after getting involved. But I think young people need, like yourself. Now, can I ask you again, because I just want to finish off with this with a bit of levity. If I went down to Paddy Power in the next couple of weeks, and because you're getting a higher profile all the time, Terence, and they put a bet out on you joining up with Lucinda, what odds do you think I'd get?
That I don't know. I'm not a betting man. Okay, yeah. Particularly when it comes to politics and that. Okay. Nobody knows, but it's possible, all right.
Okay, I'm not going to get a good. I'm not going to get a good tip off you today, am I? Listen, thank you very much. That gives us a great amount of your time, and thank you very much, and good luck for the future. Thank you very much, Terence.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.